Whitewater. That's what life feels like sometimes. We feel like we've been dumped into a rushing river, helplessly crashing into every obstacle. I felt like that. In fact, I didn't survive. Washed up on shore, I lay blissfully lifeless. Shore was a room on the psych floor of the military hospital in Munich, Germany. I was happily lying there thinking, I'm free. I'm not part of the sadistic human experiment anymore. That's when I heard his voice. A familiar voice from childhood. Terry, I know how you feel. I've seen everything human beings have ever done, and yes, I'm grossed out too. But I want you to know there's another way. You've decided not to be a human being anymore, and I chose to become one. I was instantly drowning in swirling, gut-wrenching passion, ripping flesh, gushing blood, violent death that only pure, fully intentional love is willing to endure. Then, Terry, which will you choose? I had no choice. His reason for being a human being is the only rational one. Suddenly, silence. And in the total blackness, I saw a single candle's flame, and above me, something like a sky blue floating scarf. Exploding up into the light, I'm caught in the joyous rapture of a vast rushing river, throbbing with life. Oh yes, from this moment, I will be recovering satisfactorily. Hallelujah.
Thank you. What a blessing it is to welcome Francis Kamahele as one of Terry Clark's friends, because, you know, I really believe that word is much more than our generation really acknowledges, maybe even knows, because in a biblical sense, friends are closer than brothers.
Yes, especially when, you know, the Lord calls us
absolutely
his friends. It goes way deep.
His friends means we are engaged in something larger than ourselves.
We're even deeper than engaged. We're married.
Yeah, we're married. Now, well, okay. Well, but it's been a joy to know Francis. Welcome, and please accept my deep gratitude that you would take this time.
Oh, bro, thank you so much. It's very gracious of you. Aloha to Terry and aloha to your listeners. That you would even ask for me to be on as a guest, Terry. You know, our relationship goes a long way back, and we've known each other since I was a baby Christian. Did you know that, bro?
Well, I remember when I first started to get to know you.
I was only a couple years old in the Lord.
We were in the rehearsal room for the girls with the coconut and getting ready for the show at the... What was it, the Hyatt?
It was at the Hyatt. I was headlining the Hyatt Regency show there in Maui, right there on the beach.
Sitting here with the star of the Hawaiian Island Review of the Hyatt Regency.
Oh my goodness. The night that Terry is talking about, what had happened, you know, I was pagan. I grew up, quote unquote, knowing the Lord, you know, going to Catholic church on Sundays, and I knew him, kind of, from arm's length. When I went to Maui, I was not, you know, thinking about the Lord at all. And there was someone in my cast, we had a cast of about 25 people, came up to me one night and said, Francis, you know, we're going to have a Bible study tomorrow night, and it's just for cast members. Would you like to come? And I said, well, sure. I you know, I'll come. He said, do you have a Bible? And I said, yeah. So he said, well, come tomorrow night. We'll meet before the show starts, and then we'll have Bible study. Well, I went home and just ransacked my house looking for that Bible, man, because I never picked it up.
Huge one with
the family one.
Big bronze hinges on.
The one that you have to carry over on your shoulder. You know, when I found it, I had to go, poof, because, you know, just to get all the dust off. Because I had never picked it up before, you know. So I brought my Bible to the next night, and... our dear friend, Ricky Ryan, who pastors Kumalani Chapel in Maui, was teaching the Bible study. He came and taught the Bible study. And you know, Terry, he taught only the first three verses in the first chapter of Ephesians. And the third verse has become my life verse. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing from the heavenly places. Mm. And so when I heard it that night, it was the first time that I had ever heard the gospel. And that verse hit me so hard. I said, wow, here's God up in heaven, and he loves me. You know, he's not mad at me or anything. He loves me. And I had done nothing for him. Mm. All I did was just sin and invent new ways of sin.
Inventing, yeah. I read that part in there, too.
And I said, man, this guy has something to say. I'm going to go and hear him say what he has to say.
Yeah.
And so that was a Thursday. I went to Kumalani Chapel on Sunday. I walked in. This is Maui now, Terry.
Yes. The golf shack.
Right. Beautiful place. Right on Kapalua. Right on Kapalua's Bay Course second hole. You're looking out to Molokai. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But I walk into the church and they're all white people. And we're not talking Kansas, man.
No,
we're talking Hawaii. You know,
Hawaii,
there's not one brown person in the whole place.
And especially not Ricky. Except he's the king of Maui.
That's true. It freaked me out. I mean, I was so uncomfortable to have grown up in a society and a culture of brown people here. And you walk into a church and there is not one brown person in the whole church. There are 300 people at the church and not one brown. So I felt so uncomfortable, but I said, I don't care. I'm going to just stay.
Good.
So I stayed and I listened to him and it just pierced my heart and I split right afterward. You know, I just went in my
car. Didn't have anybody there to talk to.
Yeah, right. You know, you heard the reverse drum beat. The natives are restless.
Yeah, definitely.
So I went again to the Bible study. Mm-hmm. I went again to church. I went again to the Bible study. Went again to church. So it went on for about 3 weeks. And on the third week, Ricky asked at the end of the service if anyone would give their lives to the Lord. And, you know, Terry, I tried to sit on my hands because he asked for those to raise their hands. And I tried to sit on my hands. I did, you know, I just did not. I felt so, you know how that moment is. Everyone who follows the Lord, who is listening right now, knows how that moment is. It's a decision of your lifetime. It will change your life completely. And I raised my hand, and from that time on, my life has just been different. It's been a wonderful experience in walking with the Lord. And so Terry is speaking of one of those nights that Ricky came and he would do his Bible study for the cast. He and Nancy were ministering in music on this particular night at the Bible study.
While the cast gets ready, gets...
They're in costume.
Weaves their...
Already.
Their skirts.
And their lay.
And their lay.
Right. And, you know, they're in costume. That's why, you know, Terry was talking about the coconut shells.
I'd never done that before.
Well, you know, if you're not used to doing it, it could be quite daunting. Seeing it...
I kept looking at Nancy.
I mean, seeing it up close, if you're not used to it, it's really quite the experience. Anyway, the cast members were weaving lays, and Ricky was speaking, and then afterward, Terry and Nancy pretty much took over the rest of the time for the Bible study. And Terry and Nancy thought that the cast members weren't paying attention at all. But at the end of the Bible study, the cast members who were weaving the lays got up and presented those lays to Terry and Nancy as a gift of love toward you guys. Yes. So that was the first night.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the first night that we had met, or had we?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because
so
then we went to the show.
Right afterward, right.
Yeah. And Francis introduces us to the crowd that's there for this this massive crowd for this Hawaiian Islands review. Tahitians and all the islands were represented.
It was very authentic.
Yeah. It's very, very. Some of it, the Tahitians especially, they make you want to get up and run.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do some kind of scary stuff. but he introduces us to the whole, this crowd who go, who? And I'm going, oh, well, okay. Hi, y'all.
Well, it's because, Terry, it was because, well, you folks know who are listening. You guys know. Terry is very special. I mean, the gift that God has given him and his instrument is just once in a generation kind of instrument. And his, you know, I'm talking about his voice, and he's inspired and brought peace to many a soul over the course of his ministry years. And so I was, you know, as a singer, I was impressed when I heard Terry for the first time on his piano. I went, whoa. Oh, this cat can blow, man. This guy is awesome. And I don't say that very much. You know, it's not that I'm sticky wicked or anything, but I just know when I hear good stuff.
Do you remember who else you introduced that night?
No, who was in the crowd?
Kenny Loggins.
Oh, Kenny Loggins, yeah.
And then when you introduced us, he looked... down. He leaned over and looked down the table and went, I don't think I know them.
Well, he should. Because it was the premier property on Maui at the time, we used to get all kinds of folks who
would
come in.
You know, all the celebrities would go there.
Yeah. Michael Jackson was there one night. You know, and I mean,
and Terry Clark.
Terry and Nancy. Not just Terry. You know, Terry and I... really, I think it bonded on that night. You know,
I believe
so. We have
sort
of a mutual admiration, and we have since then. We've become dear friends from that time. To say that when I went, you know, I used to travel for the Hyatt a lot and promote the Hyatt singing around the world. And so when I would stop back in San Diego to see my then girlfriend, who is now my wife for 28 years.
She was our friend too.
Yeah, your friend. That's why I would stay at Terry and Nancy's house. Hey, so, bro, I was telling you a story about some friends of ours that we were over their house in San Diego when we recently visited. Yeah. And their claim to fame, folks in the listening audience, their claim to fame is having Terry and Nancy come and nap at their place between services. Come and nap at their place. That's their claim to fame. They brag about that. Terry and Nancy were at my house sleeping in my bed. And so I had to pull out, you know, a trump card. And said, okay, this is my experience with Terry Clark. I stayed at his house on my way back from Europe, visiting Patty in San Diego, and I woke up to Terry tinkling on the piano, singing, "He is our peace." Top that, Jack! Top that! You can't top that. That's my claim to fame.
Okay. Now, what happened after that is a subject I would like for people to follow you through, the transition from there. Obviously, the Lord was transforming your life, and it still is. He's transforming us day to day, glory to glory.
Amen.
And glory to glory. Glory just means how he gets expressed in the physical world. So how he's doing that personally through our lives.
Wait, hold on just a minute. I just changed.
Yes.
See?
Yeah.
He's
and
just
now
still
I'm
transforming.
Yeah.
He is
Thank
still
you,
transforming.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because I needed that change.
I don't just wake up in a new world every morning. I wake up in a new world every moment.
Moment
and people
moment.
Think I'm old and senile.
No,
but,
you're just
but
starting.
I'm not.
No,
I'm just,
you're just starting.
I'm brand new. Right
wow,
now.
I'm just
I make
a baby.
All things brand new. But the challenge is to it's quite a ways from headlining the Hyatt Regency. I mean, the number one place in the islands for people to go to see the entertainment of the islands, and now to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and I see it in your philosophy and your work, that you understand that being a pastor is not some kind of corporate headhunter kind of acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
This is laying your life down for whoever the Lord gives you to.
Right. You're either called or you're not.
Yeah. And if you are that person, the life that you step into almost daily, like we're saying, in increments, obviously, because he doesn't throw us into it full blast, or we would just turn around and run, probably, or we would just pop in space.
Yeah.
But that process is what's important for people to understand, Francis, because people have the idea that pastors are very special people. And they are, only because they have laid their lives down following their Lord's example of laying his life down and loving like he loves and following him every day, looking up every time you turn around and go, how do you do this, Lord? What do you think about this? So that
yeah,
I will
exactly.
know what my bearing is.
Right.
And that's what's very important for anybody to understand that stands in a place that you did that day where you're trying to sit on your hands because everything inside of you is going, this is going to be totally foreign territory I'm stepping in here. Mm. And I don't know that I want to do this. But then that homing device in you is the alarm going off. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. This is your lifeline. Jump and get it. But people think that pastors are kind of born holy. You know, that it's a Catholic thing. It's a Catholic heritage.
I'll tell you through my experience. I've been a pastor now for 27 going on 28 years. It's strange as to how people view pastors. And the truth is that we are probably the most insecure people on the face of the earth because, well, let me just say, those who are truly walking with the Lord You're totally dependent upon the Lord day by day, moment by moment.
That's right.
And so if you're totally dependent upon the Lord, then your security is founded in the Lord.
That's right.
And is established in the Lord. And you stand upon His word, of course, and you stand upon the Lord. And that makes one wobble every once in a while. And that's the whole concept as to how the congregation views the pastor. And I've actually had to learn that, you know, when I was a younger pastor.
Yeah.
People want to see their pastor a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking to you, but I feel like I'm talking to everybody at the same time. And this is a difficult truth to say, Terry. So audience, please excuse me for saying this way, and please don't get the wrong idea. People want to see their pastor a certain way, and you can't be yourself in front of those people. You can confess your sins until Jesus comes back, but you can't be yourself, your true self. Your wife knows who you are because when the doors close, you know, after you get home, you're yourself.
Yeah.
But the people want to see you a certain way, and they won't accept you any other way. It's not the people's fault, though.
No, no.
It's the perception of the position of pastor. And so my philosophy of ministry is to tell them that I'm no different from them. There is no separation between laity and clergy. There is no clergy and laity.
No,
there shouldn't be within the church structure. Everyone is in it together.
Yes.
You do your part. You bring your part to the table. Mm-hmm. I do my part. I bring my part to the table. We put our parts together, and that is the beauty of the church. I mean, it's simple, but mankind has stepped in. Man, and you know, we look at the world and how the world views the CEO and then his other
minions. It's an organizational
model
rather than organism.
Exactly. And it's not supposed to be. Jesus never intended for it to be that way. So, of course, people are going to respect the pastor and his position.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. But to place the pastor on a pedestal and to separate him from the congregation,
it's deadly.
To think that he is holier than the rest of the people in the congregation it's a wrong concept. Yeah. It's fool's gold.
Yeah.
Because when you get really right down to the nitty-gritty, and if the people at our church, at the church that I have the privilege of pastoring, could see my heart, they would know that I am a sinner, saved by grace, but I'm still a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference now then, Terry, between the congregation and the pastor is that I know the word. I studied the word. I went to school for that stuff, and I still sin. Now, that places a greater responsibility on me.
Mm-hmm. So how could you feel qualified?
Exactly. And in
insecure,
that, in that there in is the a separation between the congregation and the pastor, because there's so much responsibility that comes along with. You know, when I step up at the pulpit, I'm sweating bricks.
Mm-hmm.
I've done my study, I've got the plan, everything's, you know, the sermon's done, all the music and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But when I step up there, I'm shaking my boots because I know that there's such a responsibility.
Well, you're carrying such a holy cargo. And yes, the people's respect comes out of that in the spiritual sense. But then the carnal sense takes over
because
it's a systematic thing.
Yes.
The system is a setup.
And that's where it all goes haywire.
Squeeze that all out.
Yeah.
But you're not feeling secure because you see the enormity and the majesty and the grace of God. You see it clearer every time you open that book and you stick your nose in there and know, hey, this is God's voice.
I know.
This is God's voice.
And he's talking to his
and
people.
And he wants me to talk.
I know.
He wants to talk through me to these people. And you're going,
Lord, are you sure?
I just looked in the mirror. I'm going to mess this up. I know I'm going to mess this up.
I just looked in the mirror this morning, Lord. Are you sure?
And you picked me?
I know. No. So, you know, I know pastors who have very large churches. And they experience exactly the same thing
that
I'm telling
the same.
You. And they should, Tara. Don't you think?
Yeah.
They should. Why? Because we're servants of the living God.
Yeah.
We're not God. We're servants of the living God. And if we go to serve instead of to be served, mm-hmm. we've been at churches where we see pastors who want to be served.
Yeah.
But when you go to serve rather than to be served, hey, mm-hmm. you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Now, I am a Calvary Chapel pastor.
Yeah.
Our dear pastor, Chuck Smith, has just gone to glory.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor is Mike McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
He is in San Diego. Mike was an intern on Chuck Smith's staff. He was one of the original
mm-hmm.
interns that Chuck had.
Yeah.
And so Chuck had a school of thought that if you're looking for a pat on the back from him, then you're looking at the wrong place.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong place.
Because you're looking for the gratification of man
yeah.
rather than the
And nothing
love.
Is more deadly to your,
yes.
your calling.
Yes. Than that. Rather than the love of God and doing it for mm-hmm. for God and for the right purpose. So, you know, it's interesting because Mike would come through the islands to do evangelism. One such time, I met you.
Yeah.
So Mike would come to the show, and that's how I met Mike. Mike would come to the show occasionally, and, you know, I went to the church that he had established, Kumulani Chapel, up in northwest Maui. And so whenever he came through the islands, he would preach at the church. And so we had this kind of ongoing relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I met his secretary mm-hmm. on one of mm-hmm. the tours. And I was smitten from yeah. the time that I met her.
Yeah.
And even more so as I got to know her.
Yeah.
We carried on a distant relationship for about a year and a half. And I'll tell you the story. One day, I called Patty. I called Patty every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Hawaiian Telephone came and tore the phone out of my house. I called her every day. One day, I called her and she was at the office. So she mm-hmm. had her feet up on the desk and was talking to me. Mike walks in, walks right past her, comes back out and says, "Don't tell me. Francis, right?" And she said, "Yeah." So he said, "Well, what is it with you guys? What are you guys going to do? Are you guys serious about it? Is this leading anywhere?"
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I don't know." He said, "Look, you take off a month and you go to Maui and you see whether or not the Lord is leading you guys toward a relationship mm-hmm. that would lead to marriage."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually paid her
yeah.
for that month to stay in Maui. And so she moved, of course, from San Diego to Maui. I stayed with a bunch of guys. She stayed with a bunch of girls. And Maui was really neat. We carried on a courtship for a while and then got married.
A little less phone bill.
Yes, thankfully. Then I got to use the coconuts with the string between. A year after we were married, Mike was at a Billy Graham School of Evangelism he was teaching in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he called from Chicago and said, "Francis, have you ever thought of being a pastor?" And I said, "No, because I know how much you guys make." You know? I was making a good living. Living in a home right on Kaanapali Beach and making what I call stupid money,
mm-hmm.
driving the Beamer. Just I had a great life. And I was still serving at the church, still a strong Christian serving the church. But he said, "Well, you should pray about that." I said, "Okay, I will." He called back a week later. He was in another city teaching at a Billy Graham School of Evangelism and said,
"What did God say?
Hey, have you prayed?" I said, "You know what, Mike? No, I haven't prayed." He said, "Hey, man, I told you to go and pray." I said, okay, I will. I promise now." So I got off the phone with him, right? I told Patty, "Go downstairs. We live in this beautiful home." I said, "You go downstairs and you pray. I'll go upstairs and I'll pray." I go upstairs. I'm on the lanai. Terry, come on, man. You've seen the house, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the sun is shimmering between Molokai and Lanai right off the, we spit and we can hit the sand. I'm not going to leave this place. So I tell the Lord before I open my Bible, "Lord, tell me something so that I,
Yeah, tell me something to tell Mike.
So that I could say no to Mike, right?" The Lord said, "No, sorry." So I open, he opens my Bible to Habakkuk. And right there in the beginning of Habakkuk, it says, "How can you rest in your paneled house when the Lord's house lies desolate?" Now, you've seen the house. Folks, listen. Our house had panels on it. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And I looked and, oh gosh, I'm getting Jesus bumps as I tell you this story right now. I looked at the house. I looked at my Bible. My eyes got huge and I went, oh no, Lord, I asked you to tell me something so I can tell Mike no. Yeah. And you're actually telling me to go.
Yeah.
And so I went downstairs. I told Patty the exact story that I just told you folks. And she said, well, so we're staying? I said, no, we're going. And, you know, Terry, I was entrenched in the culture there.
Yes.
I mean, like you were saying, practically everyone knew me.
Yeah.
There. I couldn't sit at lunch.
No, no.
Without someone coming up to me. I'm not saying you that I was, you know, a big star or anything like that. But
no,
I'm
but
saying
you were the face.
Without people coming up to me, or, you know, people were asking me to be their spokesperson for their charities. And, you know, I mean, I was a canoe paddler. We race outrigger canoes here as a sport. I was very close to that culture of people. And I was so entrenched in the culture there that I would have been probably the last person that you would say would leave Maui. But God's call was so... Mm-hmm. I knew that I knew that I knew. And Terry, you know, I'd studied voice and vocal production in school and then privately for 20 years.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do and all I wanted to be was the best ever out of Hawaii. That was my goal. I was reaching toward that goal. And do you know that the Lord just turned that whole thing around? Mm-hmm. What he was really preparing me for, why he taught me all of those things in school, why I went, you know, and sang those scales and, you know, the, how that is, that whole time was to glorify him. Now, I was glorifying him during the show. Yeah. I would talk about him in the show.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Hyatt sent me a letter and said to cease and desist or they would fire me.
I think I remember
that. Yeah, they would fire. They sent me a letter and said, stop or we'll fire you. I said, fire me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I can find another job. I can sing someplace else. It doesn't matter. Fire me. I kept on doing it and they didn't fire me. Anyway, I entered the ministry. So one week, you know, I'm wearing my tux. I got my gold lei on.
Yeah.
I'm singing my songs. You know, the spotlight is on me. I'm signing my autograph on my album for, you know, blue-haired ladies from Kansas. Every night, the people are taking my picture and all of that stuff. 1 week. And the next week, I'm in San Diego, and I'm digging a ditch. And do you know that I felt more fulfillment and more of a calling in digging that stupid ditch than I did any song on stage? I can't explain it till today. I feel the same way, exactly the same way. I can't explain it, but it's God's calling on our lives. And by, what, 7:30 in the morning, because we're building that new building, that multi-purpose building in San Diego, at that time that I entered the ministry. And by 7:30, I was filled with soot all over me, just dirty. Now, this is the same guy who was wearing the white tux just a week ago.
Yeah.
I got more fulfillment out of that, Terry, and I still can't explain it to you today. And
well,
I can't
you became addicted to the right thing.
Well,
that's for sure.
I don't know if I'm addicted to digging them ditches.
No, it's the smile on the caller's face. That's what we're addicted to. It's nothing can satisfy like that.
I love to make him smile.
There's nothing like it. Once you see his smile, you don't want baloney anymore.
That's so true.
Absolutely.
I know. And it is addictive.
And it doesn't matter if you can explain it to people.
No.
It just doesn't change.
No. And you can't. I challenge you to explain it.
No.
You can't explain it.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah. Praise
the Lord. Because it's about a personal thing between you and him.
Yeah.
You can't explain it for somebody else. Like what we just did, you outlined something that's very common among those who are completely his. And the millions who have gone before us. Think of the apostles who thought they had it all together. But when the Holy Spirit came, everything that Jesus had said just became so personal to them that it was a consuming fire. And they exploded.
Yeah.
Everywhere they went, it was an explosion.
Yeah.
And the government said, we got to get rid of these guys. They're turning the world upside down.
Yeah.
Well, it's still happening.
Yeah. All that did was create more blessing, and it just spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
You know, when someone tries to contain it, or like you were saying, tries to explain it, there's no possible way. And a good thing, too, because you know what man would do with that? Hey, get your Jesus t-shirts here.
Yeah, we'd take it to the bank.
Oh, you know that. You know, put it in a bottle and try to sell it.
That's what we do, but it quenches that whole thing minute we take the system and make money out of it.
But see, people don't understand that.
No, they
don't understand. Because they trust those people on the other side who are trying to do that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm trying to build this faith wall.
Yeah.
And if you just...
We can put your name on that.
Yeah. If you send 1,000... Before 12.
Yeah, before 12.
Because, you know...
Yeah. There's a deadline.
The world's gonna end before 12. Yeah. Just send it before 12
today. We're going off the air.
Listen, folks, to say it with love to you, if someone tries to bottle it and sell it to you, run. Do not walk. Run away. Because this thing is free. And whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. But this thing is free, and it doesn't cost a thing. Jesus paid for all of those things so that we wouldn't have to pay. He paid for all of those things.
Yeah. And the great expedition that's on. I mean, at that point, it's game on.
Baby, yeah.
Because digging a ditch is just the start. But it's in the menial stuff that you kind of step down out of your ivory tower, whatever that might be. Mm. I mean, everybody's got their little ivory tower. Everybody's a narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got myself on my mind all the time.
but why don't you? But wait.
But you step down.
Enough about me talking about me. How about you? What do you think of me?
Exactly. Yeah. But it proves out God's word. And there's an initial thing there that you got to catch. Go get your Bible.
That's true.
So what we're saying here, our prayer is that it causes you who are listening to go blow the dust off of that book.
Mm.
That's God's book. And if you open it, He will do surgery on you. And that surgery is to heal you.
Mm.
His scripture says, I tear you to heal you. So don't get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
About it getting hard
or
sweaty or sooty.
That's the good part.
That's the good part because you got down in the real world and because that's where it happened.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention His word that way, that the Lord does surgery on us. Is there pain involved?
Oh,
well, you know, it depends upon how you look at it. I would call it hurt so good.
Absolutely.
Lord, just take it away from me because really in the scope of life, it doesn't mean anything in my life.
Yeah.
So do we have to give up things in order to follow after the Lord? Yes.
Yeah.
We have to give up all of that pain and all of that suffering and all of
that
the
misery.
Tears and all of the loneliness. Yeah, we have to give up all of that stuff because when we're with the Lord, we'll never be lonely again.
Well, that's right. And that we can taste and see now because He's shed abroad His Holy Spirit, which is Him. I mean, He uses the terms in John 15, interchangeable. I'll be with you.
Well,
and the Holy Spirit will be with you and teach you everything that I said. Bring things to memory as you need them. And don't think that we're ever apart because we're never apart. Mm-mm. I will never leave you.
Mm-mm.
I'm installed in you, baby, and I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
But we are.
Yeah.
See, He's bought it all. On the cross. And I love this. And it explains so much of the pain that I've gone through in my life. And it explains all the anguish of change and all the stuff that's going on in our lives. When we realize that, yes, He bought the land. He bought us. But we have to turn it over to Him as we go along. And He, every morning, is at the side of our bed holding out the graces we need for today's work, taking territory in our own heart, handing it to Him, letting His light fill the dark corner that He's pointing at today. And He's designed us specifically, and He knows exactly the sequence of those things that need to happen in sequence. So when we're ready to just, like a child, reach up and take those graces and put them to work, today, we get the joy
of
taking the territory that He's bought. And it's a personal, we take ownership of His sovereignty, and He's on the throne of that section of the land.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's beyond wonderful.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It is amazing that God would choose to use mankind to propagate His gospel so that when we do, we benefit from it.
It's, well, the good yes. of all who are called and love him Amen. And are called to
Amen.
Have the ears to hear his call. And here's where the spirit and truth comes in, which is the definition for worship that Jesus used with the lady at the well. God is seeking genuine worshipers. Yeah. I don't think he was calling for singers and piano players. He was calling for normal boneheads like us who will yield to the breaking and the conviction and the call and step down and follow him. And yeah. look up yeah. to make sure we're following him every day. And if we do that, the life that we live oh. is an expedition through foreign territory every day. And you get addicted to that.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting that you should say that we would step down and look up. In the book of Exodus, when God calls Moses, he explains to Moses that he truly has heard the cry of his people.
Yes.
And he says in Exodus chapter 3, he says, I have come down
That's right.
to bring you up.
Up.
And our step down mm-hmm. is, you know, it's big in God's eyes.
Oh, you know, it's crucial in his eyes.
Yeah, it is.
Because he can't talk to us until we sit down.
It's big in God's eyes. But to know that first he took that step, mm-hmm. that it was he who took that step down. He That's came right. down so that he could bring us up. Mm-hmm. And without him coming down, our stepping down doesn't mean a thing.
No.
We could step down. You know, people do that in the world all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In the corporate world, in business, in sports, in all that man deems important today,
yeah.
people step down all the time. They take that step down all the time, but it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because there's no power behind it.
Yeah.
The only power, true power that is behind it is the Lord's power.
Mm-hmm.
But for us who are in Christ to take that step down, it's monumental.
Yeah.
And it's monumental because he first took that step.
Yeah.
You know, the word says, we love because he first taught us how to love.
And well, he didn't think it robbery.
Yes.
That he would set aside all that he
His
had,
glory, yes.
His glory.
Yeah.
To exchange it for the joy that was set before, him.
Before him. And now is before us.
Exactly. You know? Because we can experience the same joy because
exactly.
we step into it with the assurance that he's gone before us.
Yes.
And we're in the train of his victory.
And
taking the land as we go.
And how Colossians says, in Colossians 3, it says that he in us, Christ in us, is our hope of
yeah.
glory. And that's what we looked toward.
Yeah.
The Lord's given us an outreach ministry
mm-hmm.
From our
yes,
church.
Yes, talk about that.
It's called Jesus Loves
Jesus
You.
Jesus Loves You.
We have gone around our island
mm-hmm.
to pretty much every part of our island.
Yes.
We've shared the love of the Lord with many people across our island. There are about 1 million people who live on this island. And without reservation, Terry, I would say at least tens of thousands of people that have yeah. been reached with Jesus Loves You.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. It's a multifaceted ministry
mm-hmm.
To the needy and to the homeless and to children. And so you can't really pinpoint
no.
actually what it is. I've tried yeah, to explain it. I'm trying to, I'm
that's
fumbling in explaining
with,
it now.
With works of the Lord, we can't pigeonhole it.
Perfectly.
Because it's just.
Perfectly not, ever.
It's just all these things
I
that
know.
He's doing. How
Someone came up to me once and said, Pastor, I heard that you have a children's ministry. I said, well, you know, it's not really
of.
A children's ministry, but we do minister. Pastor, I heard that you have a ministry to the homeless. Well,
yes,
you know, it's
sir,
not
yes.
a homeless ministry, but we do minister to the homeless. And then we have another facet of Jesus Loves You. It's more of a platform ministry. We've tried to pattern it after the Harvest Crusade with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Yeah.
God has done great and marvelous
yes,
things through that ministry. The last one that we had was at the Stan Sheriff Center. It is the largest indoor facility in the state.
Mm-hmm.
That night was just standing room only. There was,
wow.
They came to where I was huddled up in my dressing room. It was a locker room, actually, because that's where the University
yeah.
of Hawaii plays all its indoor sports. And they said, Pastor, we have to hold the opening for about 30 minutes. The H1 freeway is so backed up
Whoa.
That people are still trying to get into the parking facility.
Like a major ball game.
Yeah. Well, that person actually said, someone told me they'd never seen it backed up
oh my
like
goodness.
That. And so it was just standing room only. And when I was standing up there that evening, it was just so humbling to see what the Lord had done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a ragamuffin
yeah.
kind of ministry.
Oh.
No,
yeah.
I don't know
We've
where
already I'm... exposed that.
I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just kind of groping in the dark.
Yeah.
It's the Lord who shows us the way, and we're just doing what the Lord wants us to do. And so standing up there, standing room only, there's not a seat in the house. I'm given the message, and I just rhetorically said that night, is there anyone here who would give their lives over to the Lord? Is there anyone who would say yes to Jesus? Is there anyone who would open their lives and start brand new? Tonight is your night. Is there anyone here who would do that? There was this guy who stood up, this big Hawaiian guy, all tatted, from his head to his toe, all tatted up. He got up in the middle of the crowd. He was on the floor in the middle of the crowd, and he said, I will.
Wow.
And the crowd went crazy.
Yes.
The crowd went crazy. They started going, rah! And I was dumbfounded,
yeah,
to say the least, on stage. And I didn't have anything to say. Yeah. I had 10 more minutes in my message.
Yeah, you ended it.
Yeah.
And
the Lord said, oh, no, you don't.
Bring them on down.
All I could say was, is there anyone else who would give their lives? And it was like popcorn all over.
Oh, yeah.
The arena. To have those folks come down that night, we had set aside a place for the altar call, and that got filled. And we set aside another place, mm-hmm, kind of on the run,
yeah,
and that got filled. And there were people who were in the aisles, wow, receiving the Lord that night. And so to have it come, Jesus, full circle from that first night that the Lord had impressed upon my heart his great love,
mm-hmm,
that he was ready to bless me with every spiritual blessing from, mm-hmm, the heavenly places. Can I just give an encouragement to those who are listening?
Absolutely.
If you who are listening have had in your lifetime an opportunity to step out for the Lord in obedience to him in something that you're going through or something that he wants you to do, don't wait. If the Lord's, yeah, already confirmed it in your heart through his word, step out in obedience.
Hmm.
And God blesses obedience. Don't do it because he's going to bless obedience.
Yeah.
Be obedient, and God will bless that step of obedience. But let me just encourage those of you who may be listening who never have had the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord or Savior. Today, the Bible says, is the day of your salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. If you have an opportunity, like I waited 3 weeks before I even had an opportunity to receive him, but don't wait. The Bible says, now is your time. So if you would like to receive Jesus in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, if you would like to have him start a brand new life for you, everything that you did in the past would be forgiven. I mean, there are consequences to everything, of course, but everything that you do and have done in your life would have been forgiven. Repent of those things, turn from those things,
mm-hmm,
and follow after the one who loves you and who created you. Let me give you that opportunity right now. Would you bow your heads in respect and reverence to the Lord our God and just repeat this prayer aloud after me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. But I know that you came down to bring me up to where you are at. I know that you came and died on the cross and shed your sinless blood so that my sins would be forgiven. Forgive me now. I open my heart to you and I ask you to come in. Be my Lord. Forgive me of all of my past. I turn from those things and I turn toward you. Be my Savior. And be my friend, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all of those who have just received you. The angels are rejoicing because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we thank you that you've called us into your family, that you call us your sons and your daughters.
Yes.
And now, Lord, keep those that have said this prayer, keep those close to you.
Mm.
Just ask your blessings upon them, in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
amen.
Man.
And so, if you've said that prayer, get a Bible, and like Terry was saying, read it every day.
Yes.
Even if you don't understand it, just open it and start reading it. Start at, yes, the Gospel of John, just start reading it. And be faithful to read every day.
Yes.
And then pray every day. The Lord speaks to his people through his word, through the Bible, and we speak to God through prayer. And so this ongoing relationship goes between the two of us and talking, mm-hmm, between us. And then what's important is that you find a Bible teaching church. You might have to go through a couple of them. It might take you a month or so, but don't give up. Find a Bible teaching church. And lastly, tell somebody what you did. tell somebody about Jesus and how he changed your life. God bless you all. Thank you, Terry, so much for having me as your guest. I've been honored to have been with you.
Well, it's certainly an honor for me as well. And is there a website or something that people can go to learn more about the Jesus Loves You, or find out where your fellowship is?
Or just email us if you need prayer.
Yes.
Yes, it's horizonhonolulu.org.
Great. I know that there's people who will be interested, and I know I would scramble to Google Jesus Loves You and find out what's going on, but repeat that website.
Yes, please. Not much is up on Google as far as that's concerned, but okay. If you go to our website, it is Horizon, H-O-R-I-Z-O-N, Honolulu, H-O-N-O-L-U-L-U.org.
Great. And I'm so pleased that we had this opportunity, Francis. And I'm so glad that we're brothers.
It's so sweet of you to ask, bro. I really appreciate it.
And I look forward to what's ahead. Lord, thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Terry.
I've been forgiven. Life is now for living in the grace I've known from the throne of God. I have seen his mercy and his light descending on me like a dove, full of love. Love of God, I long to see his face. I lift my heart, Lord, unto you. Raise my hands in your name. My lips sing of your grace. I will softly in the hour of seeking for his word, then I've heard him say, I have been here waiting, anticipating when you call on me, really needing my child. Come into my arms and rest here for a while. I lift my heart, Lord, unto you. Raise my hands in your name. My lips sing of your I will praise you forever, all for the love you have freely given, all for the love you have freely given me.
All the music you hear me sing on this program, Terry Clark and Friends, is available at our website, catalystpeople.com, C-A-T-A-L-Y-S-T, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come and visit us soon.